ladies and gentlemen, it is I, Piper the DJ, one more time, coming after you with episode 74 of Trending Mobile Technology, hosted right here on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. As always, you can find me on Google Plus under the handle Piper the DJ. Check me out on Twitter, Piper the DJ. I've had quite a few interactions on there this past week due to some fallibilities, but more from that as we go. This week, my special guest is Obi-Wan Jabroni, coming in from the UK. And here we go from there. Last week, I went on the books and cited, quote, Windows 7 was an epic failure. Well, Mr. Old School, he heard that. He's like, throwing me under the bus, hardcore, in Twitter. Well, he didn't throw me under hardcore, but he's just like, Windows 7 was an epic fail? Really? And I'm like, no. It wasn't Windows 7. It was Vista. Which is true. Vista was an epic fail. Vista sucked.
Yeah.
Vista ranked right down there with Windows ME. As far as I'm concerned, I said Windows 7. Yes, it was a slip of the tongue. I apologize. Yes, I'm fallible. Yes, thank you, Mr. Old School, for noting I am a complete dumbass. It happens, okay? I slip. Sorry, it happens. Thanks, Mr. Old School, for pointing that out. I want to tell everybody that's out there that listens, just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean it's right. I want to make sure people understand that. Okay, this is Trending Mobile Technology. It is a show based on opinion. Initially, when the show started, it was just a solo show because, you know, that's the way it worked out. Well, now I get that interaction. I get that opportunity to talk to people and share with people, you know, and also get other people's opinions. And joining me in from the UK for episode 74, Obi-Wan Jabroni, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you today?
I am fine. We had a lot of technical difficulties, didn't we?
Yes, it's been a morning. We were on here, but the beauty of it is we just sat back and we shot some stuff and we had a good conversation about some various other things and some difficulties and bonehead move on my part because being the technologist and individual that I am, I'm constantly changing stuff, constantly moving things around, and I move some things around and set some things the wrong way, and sure as anything, I screwed it up, but hey, we are here. And of course, Mr. Old School, once again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, thank you for pointing out, and I offer that challenge to everybody that's out there. Just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean that it's correct. The thing about this industry and the thing about what we do is everything is open for opinion. Everything is open to change. Everything is open to, you know, what somebody else can say. And it's not just, you know, my opinion because everything changes. There was a one point in time where when desktop computing was such the rage where you could go out and spend $1,000 on a computer, take it out of the box, and it would be outdated already. Okay, that's just the way it worked out. Unless you actually knew what you were doing, you know, you could go and you would be outdated as soon as you got to that position. But the thing about this, yes, I slip up. I mess up. Last week I mentioned Windows 7. I should have said Vista, you know, the Balmer era versus the new era, things like that of that nature. You know, once again, if there's something you don't agree with that comes out of my mouth, please let me know. And that's the bottom line. Obi, can you back that up on for me?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I've done podcasts, and probably 90% of what I said is inaccurate. No. No, totally. I mean, that's the whole part of, you know, the interaction thing that you just mentioned. You know, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you use, text messages, people still use text messages.
Right.
No, I think, you know, it was at the end of the day, Pat, it was just a slip of the tongue. I'm pretty sure you listened back to it. For, oh shit, you know,
because I didn't catch it during editing, but I caught
did you,
it.
Did you have a guest on that day?
Yeah, I had my buddy Sam on. He's a guy that I ran into on Google Plus. I had Sam on, and he didn't get it during recording, and I edited the thing down, and I missed it during editing, but, you know, when I downloaded it to screen it then, I caught it then, I was like, oh, crap. You know, oh shit, really? You know, but hey, in 74 episodes, in 74 episodes, if I haven't messed up once, you know, I mean, I count it from the point of view, if I mess up once a show, I think I'm doing pretty good. I mean, really.
And you mentioned Balmer there.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to Windows 9. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's got my... This new guy that they've got coming in, he, you know, and Microsoft doing what they do and being who they are and all their infinite wisdom or whatever, they went and they said, oh, you know, we're going to get somebody from the outside, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, what did they find up doing? They found up going to their server department, pulling somebody in from there. Now, Balmer, when he came in, he focused on hardware and getting into mobile. Okay, his hard-on was for the mobile space. This new guy, he's, and I don't remember his name for the life of me, and I'm sorry, I should have that in front of me, but I don't. But this new guy, he's going to focus on the software, he says. You know, he's going to focus on the corporate, the infrastructure. And that's what, in my opinion, that's what Microsoft is about. And I'm going to get more into this with Old School because he deals with this on a more frequent basis than I do. But I'm excited to see what Windows 9 is going to do. I've had my time where I thought Microsoft was useless. I've had my time where I believed that Windows 8 was not what it should have been. I've had my moments where, matter of fact, I've gone on the books many times here on this show, where Windows 8 Mobile and Microsoft in itself was useless. You know, and that just goes to prove that, again, just because the word's coming out of my mouth doesn't mean it's right. This show is based on opinion. This show is based on interaction. This show is designed to give people, the average consumer, enough information to make an educated decision based on what's out there. And Windows 9, based on what I'm reading, okay, there hasn't been anything official yet, which you wouldn't expect Microsoft to produce something official because they don't do very good when it comes to rumors. But I think, and I'm under the impression, that Windows 9, even though the consumer community is screaming at the top of their lungs, and OB, I don't know if you're one of these people, but a lot of people are screaming. They've screamed for years. Put Xbox and Windows together. Make them one. Make them universal. Make them a single entity. But Windows 9, it is going to keep a definitive separation between the two. And it's going to focus more on corporate infrastructure, I believe. Now, is it going to take a little bit to get there? Yes, I believe so. But it's going to get those people that have been on the fence with Windows 7, it's going to get them on board to go, hey, Windows 9, hey, check it out. It looks better. OB, thoughts on that? Yes, no?
No, because... if you look at the Xbox One now, it's kind of like, it's like Microsoft, you know, the Xbox division saying, oh, look at us, you know, we're the all-in-one device, you know, we got your Kinect, we got your TV. I'm sorry, I don't want to connect my TV to the Xbox, you know, I want these to be separate. I don't want my X, because you can't watch TV without having your Xbox One turned on. That's just stupid to me.
I agree with that, yes. A lot of people are saying, there's a couple people that I've talked to that are heavy gamers, and I'm like, well, you know, what about the new Xbox One? And they're like, I'm not getting an Xbox One. What? No, I just what they did is they traded in their old 360 for a new 360 because they don't want that always on. They're like, I've got a set top box already. What do I need an Xbox One for? I've got this already. What do I need an Xbox One for? I've got this already. I don't want to go waving to my, you know. Now, for the individual, and this will get into one of my stories.
I will say this.
Go ahead.
Real quick, I want to say. Actually, before that, PK Punk was, PKBWC was supposed to join us. But he's got power issues, so hopefully his power gets back on, because that sucks, man. Can you imagine not having no power?
Yeah, that would be bad, especially in the technologically switched on society that we currently live in. Having no electricity would suck. Yes.
Yes. So, okay, so I want to say this about the Kinect. It does work. I know, I think the last time I was on, I said to you guys, PK and yourself, I said, you know what, I've not even bothered to connect my Kinect up yet, because I just don't want it. Uh-huh. But you know what, Piper, it does work. It really does. Because I can go in there, and if my Xbox is plugged in, I can say Xbox on, and it comes on. Stuff like that, Xbox Go Home, Xbox Launch, Killer Instinct, it does actually work. And you know what the coolest feature on that thing is? So you get those prepaid codes, right?
Right.
You hold the thing up to the thing. Literally, I'm not even joking. It literally takes 1 second. 1 second, and your thing's up. Do you want a redeem code? Yes, I do. Thank you. I didn't have to type it in. Cool. You know, for that sort of stuff, it really does. I think the codes for me is cool, because who wants to put those fucking codes in, man? That's like 25 digits.
Okay,
you know? All right.
I'll see. I'll recognize that for you, okay? But is the Xbox One designed? I mean, you know, you mentioned it just yourself a minute ago. You don't want to go plugging your TV into the Xbox with your set-top controller because you've got one. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't need...
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I'm the same way. And this is why I unplugged the thing. Now, I want to just go back and say, disclaimer, I think the Kinect thing is cool. It works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff, forget it. Do I want to connect this to my satellite box? No way, because can Microsoft, you know, can they see, you know, what I'm watching? Is that stuff logged? I'm pretty cagey about that stuff. I know if they can see the sort of stuff I'm watching, I don't know. I don't want them to kind of know that stuff, and I'm pretty sure they can.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not the individual that sits back and says, with, you know, the NSA and spying being what it is and all that other crap and everything, you know, am I the guy that says, well, I don't want you looking over my shoulder? Do I care, really? No. All right? This is coming to the point where the focus on CES was the Internet of Things. Everything being connected to everything else, and when you're home, you're not at home, and when you're not at home, you're home. And all that kind of mess. Is this getting to a point where it's all connected through the Microsoft realm? I think Ballmer wanted that, and I think that's the direction that he wanted to go with. This change in command, with this change in leadership, with this change in CEO, are they going to get away from that? I think yes. And I think that works in the benefit of Microsoft for the simple fact that server infrastructure is where Microsoft has its strength. Microsoft had its biggest success when they were flagrantly, blatantly, honestly, seriously, whatever you want to call it, going against BlackBerry for the corporate space. Okay? Now, BlackBerry 10, a couple weeks ago, I announced BlackBerry 10.2.1, I believe it was, came out, and it was making integration with Android apps. Okay? To where you could download a version of the Google Play Store and install Android apps on a BlackBerry 10. Okay, and this actually comes right back to a story that I got from Sam earlier this week. Thank you very much. For more information on Sam, check him out on last week's show, episode 73, Microsoft bringing Android app support to Windows and Windows Phone. Now, just off of that headline, Obi, what's your first thought?
Microsoft bringing their own apps to the...
No. Microsoft bringing Android apps to Windows phones. That means Android APKs are going to be compatible on Windows Mobile 8. Now, Mobile World Congress is coming up in Barcelona, Spain here in a few weeks. Nokia recent acquisition to Microsoft is supposed to be is supposed to introduce their Nokia X. Okay, and this is supposed to be the Android device that Nokia has been threatening for, I believe, 3 months now. That story coming off of Gizbot, but this story coming off of The Verge, and this is a website that I subscribe to regularly, where Windows phone handsets and Windows computers will start to run Android apps.
Okay, I misheard you. I think Windows and their mobile space, I think they've just realized that, you know, they're kind of lacking behind everything now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, iOS and Android as well. You know, they're kind of like, they're way behind, right? Am I still...
No, they are behind. And this is something that caused a huge problem for me when was it? I want to say a year ago even, just not long after Windows Mobile 8 started making its move, where this is something that I clung to big in the space, was because Microsoft came out and said, okay, we're putting $100,000 on the table, and anybody that wants to come develop for us, come develop for us. And they put $100,000 on the table, and after a month, that $100,000 was still on the table.
Yeah, no one wanted to do it.
Nobody wanted to do it because, you know, everybody's immersed in the Android and the iOS.
It's exactly like, I hate to bring gaming into it, but it's exactly like the Wii U.
Uh-huh.
It has no third-party support. These people, Activision, EA, Namco Bandai, they don't want to support a system that's not selling very well. For them, it's pointless because it's development time. Same with these dudes. Same with the apps for the Windows phone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't wanna. You know. Did you know though? There is Microsoft apps on iOS.
Yes.
I believe there's some games. I think they have SkyDrive. I want to say as well.
Yeah. All the cloud services are becoming more and more compatible with all other cross platform. And I need to finish my thought on this before Old School has a conniption. Because I know that he's going to listen to this in preparation for when he comes on next week. Granted, nobody wanted to develop for Microsoft because of what they had going on. However, flip side to that, I think this is a good move for Microsoft because it's going to give them the apps. A lot of people are saying it's all about the apps. How are you going to get me away from my current ecosystem? Give me apps. Give me more. Give me, this cloud service and that game and this and that and this and that. You know, the question that I want to pose, and being new to the iOS space, I have my biases in place, and I'll get into that here in a minute. Obi, why didn't Microsoft go to Apple and say, hey, let's put you on our store instead?
Well, you know, the whole thing with that is because Apple were just, they were kicking their asses on the mobile space, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, kind of like, well, that's like Nintendo going to Apple and say, okay, we want to put our games, we want to put Mario on iOS. You know?
Right.
It's kind of like that whole situation. Apple will say, fine, that's fine with us, you know, go ahead. Because Apple know that Mario's freaking huge and it's going to sell bucket loads. It's going to sell bucket loads of devices, right?
Right.
Apple will probably turn around and say to it, well, you got to keep it exclusive,
right?
You know? So it's... I just think it was that whole situation. It was kind of like, well, you know, Microsoft didn't want to go begging to Apple. I think that's what it was, to be honest. I kind of like, you know, because they wanted to do their own thing with Surface and, what was it, Windows Phone 7 at the time?
Right.
You know, they wanted to go out on their own, and I think they wanted to prove a point and come out with something different and say, well, look, you know, we got this, and they probably thought, you know, it's going to do well because it's Microsoft.
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry, but the Surface is too expensive.
But the Surface has its place. They found where they can go. They found what they need. Surface is becoming an entity all on its own. And I think that introduction into the Android APK space is what Microsoft needs in this case, because, you know, they didn't have the developer support when they asked for it. but, okay, and I no word as yet as to what APKs and APIs are going to start to allow coming in, but I mean, let's see here, where is it? Further on in the article, this one coming from actually the UK's own Alex Dobie, being reported off of the AC, citing that would likely, it wouldn't have Google Play services, so the APKs wouldn't be official Google, but they would have the ability to incorporate many Google services and many of the Google APKs that are instilled and built into the, you know, making them cross-platform pretty much. You know, and I think this gives the app support that Microsoft needs. I mean, if now I'm not a coder. I haven't been a coder for years. Okay, I was a coder back in the days of Assembler and COBOL. You know, back when everybody used question marks and backslashes and all that kind of good stuff. You know, so current coding isn't my bag. But if I were a coder, number one, I would look to Android. Number two, I would look to iOS. Microsoft wouldn't be very high, but with this ability starting to come in, do you think that this gives them the developer support that they need to become viable?
Well, yeah, hopefully, because it's going to get, you know, you're going to see Office on there, hopefully, on Android. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Piper, but I think Microsoft, there isn't any good Office programs, is there? On Android, is there? Am I wrong?
See, the thing, the beauty of the new KitKat is it came with what's called QuickOffice.
Right.
And that is a app that offers cloud support because it syncs with Google Drive. But it saves everything that it uploads to Google Drive in a DocX format, which is compatible with Office. Now, I've done the cross-platform, and I've done the over back and forth. I still prefer the Google Drive text format myself. I do have a couple classes that require Microsoft Office, so I use QuickOffice for those classes, but I still tend to prefer the native Google Drive.
But there's going to be a lot of people out there that want to see Office on Android, and you know, you can get a Nexus 7 tablet for what is it, $200?
$250.
So compare that to a Surface or Windows 8 phone, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the price to get into the Android space is very good. I think it's way better than anything else.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be exclusive apps, just because, I mean, what could they offer what's exclusive, you know? I mean, just every app now out under the sun, you know. No, I think it's a good thing. It's going to give them more exposure. I think that's what they need, especially on Android, because, like I said, it's going to push Android sales. You know, if the Surface was cheaper, I would so get a Surface.
There's a lot of people, and I was telling you about this in the pre-show, where business majors.
Yeah.
Are being advised. They're not being brainwashed, but they're being told, if you want to succeed in what you're going into, which is business, Surface is what you need. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. Surface is what you need. Windows, Microsoft is what you need. And that's a direction that they're going. I mean, Microsoft is making their appeal to the corporate infrastructure, okay? They're getting back on their horse, you know. Business majors are being told, they're not being told, you know, oh, you've got to pick, you know, this, that, or, no. But they're, you know, iOS, iPad, doesn't have it for the executive. Android definitely doesn't have it. And I'm not turning this into a BYOD case, okay? I'm not turning this into BYOD versus non-BYOD. I'm not turning this into Android versus Microsoft versus iOS. This is the way it is. The corporate executive space is still immersed in iOS. And if you want to get involved and you want to get ahead and you want to go where the money is, you can't do it on iOS and you can't do it on Android. I mean, these are coming from professors, people that are respected in the business space. Microsoft is dominant in this space. It's going to stay in this space. And if you, as a person who wants to get into the space, this is where you need to be. And these college kids are getting into this space with Surface. Now, granted, they might still be carrying an iPhone on their pocket. They might still have an Android device on their hip, okay? But in their tablet, they're using Surface. And that's the step that's the direction, I think, that Microsoft is going here. And adding Android APK support, I can't imagine what exactly apps Microsoft is going to allow or permit or perceive, okay? Because I know just as well as the next guy that Android has security holes built into it. I mean, I've gone on the record multiple times on this very show about the holes that are built into Android. Because it's open source, okay? Because it's open source. You know, SNOC's having problems because it makes Android act in a way that it's not supposed to. Okay, I get that, all right? But the ability to add width to Microsoft without having too many problems, I think that works in Microsoft's favor because, you know, they're focusing on the corporate. They're focusing on the executive. They're bringing back what they were about. I mean, let's see here. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe, if you went into any executive space, what did they have? They had Windows, right?
Windows 95.
Right, Windows 95. Windows, you never heard of Mac outside of the educational space.
Never. If you had heard of Mac, it was very expensive.
It was very expensive. You know, I believe this is the right direction for Microsoft because it's a type of thing where at one point in time, if you had Apple, you knew what you were talking about. I mean, you were heavy into audio video. You were heavy into graphics. You were heavy into something. If you had an Apple or a Mac, you had it for a particular reason, okay? Everybody had a computer. Businesses were big on 95, they were big on 98. 2000 had its place. We won't talk about that. But XP, all right? Microsoft was everywhere. And in the corporate space, there was no other. Apple tried to get into the corporate space with their Server X. It failed. Okay, I get that. But the developments and the downhill slope that Ballmer put on Microsoft, and I don't want to turn this into a down with Microsoft, okay? Everybody makes mistakes. I get that. In this industry, you're allowed 2, maybe 3, 4 if you're extremely lucky before you're going to be written off as into oblivion. And Ballmer made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. I think that he should have pulled the plug sooner, but hey, he's buddies with Bill Gates, so who's going to argue? But bringing Microsoft back to the corporate space and getting the university space to sign off with this and train the up-and-coming business people in Microsoft, I think works in their benefit. Adding this APK support, works in their benefit. BlackBerry, doing the exact same thing, bringing in the APK support for Android. It gives them the developer width that they might not have. They might have an app that comes in that's... Give me an example, Obi, that would be of an app that you could use in corporate space.
Excel.
Okay, fine. Excel. Spreadsheets. Okay. Yeah. So let's say, and for Excel, I use Google Drive. All right. So let's just say that they come out with a Google Services app that works on Microsoft, whether it be for SkyDrive, whether it be for downloadable, editable Excel spreadsheet format. So let's say they come out with that. Now Microsoft knows who that developer is. They could say, now I don't know how all the developer community works, but Microsoft could say, hey, this developer made this Excel spinoff that works really good, but... Okay, so then the wheels start to, you know, there's the but. So let's address the but, and let's work with the but. And I got it. Okay, so let's figure out how to make this better and morph this. And they can contact the developer and say, hey, we saw you made this app for Android. So here's some rough edges. Let's fine tune it a little bit. And if you can get this, and this, for example, secure sharing, VPN, something of that nature, importing or whatever, you will be compensated X. Obi, knowing the failures in the developer community on the Microsoft camp, do you think this works in the favor of Microsoft?
I do. I wish it was officially coming from Microsoft, though. I really do. Yeah. I just wish Microsoft would be like, okay, we're 100% we're going to get behind Android because blah, 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 because our other devices are not doing very well. Let's support Android. And, you know, I think – I want to say – don't quote me on this, but I think Microsoft does have Office on iOS.
Do they?
I think they have – I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Like I said, this is just our opinions, and, you know, I want to say, though, I have seen Word. Microsoft Word is on iOS, and I think you can get it on there.
Microsoft Office 365 full access on iOS productivity showdown in iWork.
There you go.
Wow.
So they do support iOS.
Yep, this coming in off Apple Insider, 23 November 2013.
But... At the same time, though, I really don't get that because, like, Apple has their own apps, right. You know, Pages, and again, you need to be in that ecosystem, though. So I'm glad, I'm glad Microsoft's on iOS because, again, it's ecosystems, right?
Right.
If you SkyDrive, hey, it's all on there because I'm pretty sure that Apple are not, you know, I don't think that merges, the Office 365 merges with iCloud. I doubt it, right? It doesn't plug in there.
I doubt it would. I think that would be taking away from the SkyDrive infrastructure if it did.
Yeah.
And the instability, and we touched on this a little bit in the pre-show too, where you could have iCloud consumers. And some will have a perfectly fine experience with iCloud, but others will not. And I think that's – that inconsistency, I think, is a downfall of the iOS, okay, where – you know, and I touched on this as well. Google Drive, I can get that to work no matter where I'm at, okay? Some people, they have problems with iCloud services. Others don't. I haven't had a problem with it. You haven't had a problem with it. But I did have an interaction with some individuals at one point where out of three of them, they were all associated. They were all friends. One was able to use it. Two of them were not. Where the consistency is, I don't know. Okay.
One thing I want to say about iCloud real quick. I think they need to get this to work on the web.
Yes.
I think they need it in the browser. Having it exclusive to the apps, I mean to the devices – you know, it doesn't work as well because that's where people are having problems, I think.
Right.
It's the devices. Yes, it does work on Mac, But again, that's exclusive to Mac. Have it work on Windows too. iTunes and Safari is on Windows.
Right.
So I just see Apple are a bit ignorant in this sense, you know, as well. And people know, if you listen to the show, I am an Apple fan, but I do recognize Apple ignorant as well at the same time.
They're proprietary. They hold yeah. to the philosophy of Steve Jobs. This is going to come from his autobiography, because I didn't know a lot of the thinking of Steve Jobs until I actually read the autobiography, Jobs. And this is the thing is where Jobs would look at the situation and say, why would you want to open it up and mess with it? Why would you want to open the box? Why, you know, if you get inside this case, you're going to mess it up. You're going to take off the prettiness. You're going to take off the, I believe the word that you used at one point in time.
Lickable,
yeah. But at one point in time, you said sexy.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, why would you want to? Well, unfortunately, in the day and age that we're getting to, people want to mess with it. And if you're not on board with that, you know, the jailbreaking community, the developer community, the advancements, the making things better, the moving it forward, the making it more enticing, okay? You know, where we're getting more with wearables, we're getting on with we're moving forward with things, where things are becoming more and more integrated, where people are wanting and doing and being more with their devices. I think integration and improvement and quote-unquote, for lack of a better term, and I use this word very loosely when I say it, but hacking your devices, I think that's becoming a requirement. I think that Apple is understanding that, and they're getting away from the Jobs mentality of that, all right? Now, was Steve Jobs wrong when he said, we're going to lock it down and we're going to keep it proprietary? No, okay? But I think they need to get that consistency in there. Because, you know, we talked about it at length, Obi, in today's show, in the pre-show, the comparison between Siri and Google Now, okay? It's the same thing in iCloud services. It's the same thing in SkyDrive. It's the same thing in Google Drive. It's got to work, and it's got to be able to work when people need it. I'm not talking about 9 out of 10. I'm not talking about 95% of the time. I'm talking about it has to work. I've put Siri against Google Now, okay? And in my opinion, Siri has failed many times. And it hasn't held up to scratch. It hasn't held up to where it needs to. It hasn't towed the mark, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to bring this around back to the topic at hand with Android support getting into Microsoft, the serious consideration.
I just want to finish this thing on iCloud real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
I will make this brief. I think what it is, I think it's with SkyDrive, this is a good example, and Google as well. They've got eyeballs. Mm-hmm. I just because I'm on a Mac doesn't mean I can access SkyDrive. I can access it through Hotmail and mm-hmm. things like that, through a browser. My point is these two companies, Microsoft and Google, they got the eyeballs, and that's what it's all about. It's all about the eyeballs. And if Apple can get that down, the whole iCloud integrate on Windows and stuff, and have it work through the browser and not keep it exclusive to their stuff, I think they're going to get a lot of people using that stuff. I really do. And they're just not making it accessible. And it's a shame because, for me, iCloud does work. I can make notes and reminders on my Mac. They pop up on my iPad and iPhone perfectly. They just work. You know, it keeps in sync and, you know, for me, it's fantastic. So
I can agree with that, and I can definitely support, agree with what you're saying, how it works that way. But in the immersed ecosystem that I'm in, being
also with iCloud, you can access it. If you go to iCloud.com on any, because it's just a browser,
uh-huh.
you can look at your stuff.
Right.
I don't know if you can do anything, because I've not been on iCloud.com for a while, so I don't know if you can edit stuff, but I know you can see your contacts and your find my iPhone or find mm-hmm. my iPad, stuff like that. I know you can see all that stuff. I don't know if you can edit contacts and things. Like I said, I've not been on, I don't use the web interface for iCloud that much. It's pretty much just done on my devices, but yeah, I might be totally wrong. You know, you might be able to edit your contacts on iCloud.com. Who knows?
I'm sure there's a way to do it. There's plenty of people that are out there that are switching from iOS to Android and Android to iOS. And there, if you just get out there and you can Google. Matter of fact, there was a link that I ran across on Google Plus where you could, you know, it gave step by step walkthrough. Of how to get your contacts from iCloud to Google Cloud and back again. Okay, so there's definitely ways of getting that accomplished, and I'm sure it has something to do with iCloud.com. Am I a big fan of iCloud services? Not really, because I'm, and this goes back to I've been in Google Mobile Services GMS for so long, and I've utilized that space. For so long, and I've been on it for so long, and I have this web myself of support in Google where, you know, moving into another space is difficult for me. Do I want to? Not really. I don't do it with bells on because I don't have an iOS mobile phone, but I do utilize the cloud resources that are available to me that are easiest to get. Now, Google Drive is everywhere. I can get it on my iOS. I can get it on the Android. I can get it on my desktop. I can get it on everywhere. Okay, all I need is a browser. Now, whether I'm using Internet Explorer or Firefox or Chrome or Safari, it just that limits the functionality and the usability and the user experience for Google Drive. But, you know, we're getting way off track here, and I do apologize for that. I've had you on the phone for a while, and we've covered a lot of good things. We've also had a lot of technical problems. But, you know, to get back, I think that Microsoft getting into the Android space, utilizing Android APKs, will support the Nokia X device, which is supposed to be announced at Mobile World Congress. And you know, the Nokia power user, this is something coming off of Gizbot. This was announced earlier when they're talking about the Nokia X. It's a dual core 512 RAM, 4 gig internal memory, 5 megapixel rear camera. It's supposed to support Android 4.4 KitKat with a 1500 mAh battery. Now, this is the Android device that Nokia has been threatening for months, that Microsoft has, they've either said, yes, we're going to, no, we're not going to, yes, we're going to, no, we're not going to, you know, and now Nokia finally came out and said, yes, this is what we're going to do. But the thing that we have problems with is getting these two to work together. You know, why would you want to? Well, why would you want to? Because now Microsoft is seriously considering involving Android. And this is, you know, Mobile World Congress, as we're getting ready to talk about it, Obi, expectations, okay? Nokia is going to be there, obviously. Samsung, they're supposed to have their S5 release for Mobile World Congress. Obi, your thoughts on, you know, Samsung, Nokia, LG, they're supposed to make a big show. What, with the Internet of Things being what it is and where it's going and the improvements and the advancements being connected, you know, the wearables, what can we expect from Mobile World Congress this year?
Well, what you probably won't see in you probably remember from last year when we saw the Samsung's S4. Remember that whole shindig?
Now, wait a minute. The Galaxy S4 was released and announced in New York. Okay.
Yeah.
And the fiasco and the head throb of their quote unquote Broadway production. We're talking about Barcelona, Spain, where, in my opinion, I mean, over theatrics over there in the UK is kind of kept to a minimum. Is that right?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I totally forgot that was New York. Yeah, that's right. It was so long ago, wasn't it now?
It was a little over a year, yeah.
You know what I'm expecting from Samsung? No crapware, please. Can we get away from this now? It's about time we don't have none of this. Just give us a pure experience. I don't think we're going to get it, but... And this is why I'm so happy with the Nexus 7. There's no... But, you know, I am looking forward to the Barcelona because, you know, I am in that position now. I've had my iPhone 4S for going nearly 3 years now, if you believe it. This is a very old device, and I'm still using it. I'm looking for a new device. I'm hoping we're going to see something good. Nokia, I'm favouring that because Nokia, every Nokia I've used has been very good. Battery life especially. Samsung, I'm not very confident with them. Especially after that whole mess, you know, with the S4. And I came on and just complained about it and it was just, I'm so glad I've got rid of it. It was a good phone, but it was just, oh. Those apps, man.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Samsung has a place. Okay?
Yeah.
You get individuals on the... See, like, Jason Rivera, friend of the show, been on quite a few times, fellow Note 2 user. He loves it. Okay? Ultimate MJR on the other coast over in California. He's also a friend of the show. He's got a Galaxy Note 2. Plenty of people that I know are on Galaxy Note 2s. That is a Samsung device, yes. My biggest downfall, the biggest thing that I hold against Samsung, is their sauce. TouchWiz sucks miserably. I can't emphasize enough. I hate TouchWiz. Okay.
It's pretty pointless.
It is. It's a resource sucking vampire bat.
Well, you're only left with 8 gigs.
Yeah.
This is what I noticed, right?
Uh-huh. Exactly. It touch with the Samsung sauce is such a detriment to Samsung. Okay. And now they did go on the books and they said, okay, we're gonna start changing around the background of TouchWiz. You know, they said at CES, we're going to do away with TouchWiz. And then after CES was done, they're just like, no, we changed our mind.
You know what they should do? They should make it optional. They really should. They should say, okay, we've got these apps. They should just put one app on there. And I believe they have it, like a Samsung Marketplace. They should just put something on there and say, okay, if you want these apps, our Samsung own apps, you can get them if you want. Don't put it on there and force it. And I know we've had this conversation where sometimes you got to tell the customer what they want. I believe 100% in this case, Samsung is wrong. We don't want this.
Right.
Because the apps are useless. None of those apps I used.
Well,
I didn't use anything.
Google is becoming active in their operating system now. And I walk on this very delicately because Google has come under fire. And I've read and I'm announcing on this a little bit sooner than what I wanted to because I'm one that generally, when a big story breaks, I research the crap out of it before I actually give an opinion on it because I want to make sure that I have enough opinion to make an educated decision, enough information to make an educated decision.
Let me stop you real quick. Is this a story about Google putting, say, for example, their own stock keyboard on the marketplace?
This isn't about that. This is about Google making associations and becoming active, closing the gap a little bit on their operating system. And this comes in a couple different, quite a few different places, actually. Many people citing that Google is turning into the scum of the earth because they're getting proprietary. Okay, number one, Google went to Samsung and they set up an agreement, a 10-year agreement between the two of them, the contents of which hasn't been fully lined out, but Samsung is going to start playing nice with Google to the sense where a lot of the slag, the sauce, the bloat, the junk that they have on their devices is going to be, number one, it's going to be removable, and number two, it's going to be customizable to a sense where the Google sauce can start to prevail and start to shine a little bit. Number two, Google certified devices. This was something that Google said to the OEMs, okay? Google said, if you want a Google certified device, if you want your device to support Google mobile services, at this point called GMS, if you want your device to be Google certified, it has to be running either the most current version of Android or the one that was released 9 months ago. For those playing the home game, Android and Google have released two versions of Android a year. Now they're up to APK, I believe, 19, which is 4.4 KitKat. 4.5 or 5.0 is going to be the L, all right? So if, let's just say for the sake of example, Samsung were to present a device to Google citing, we want you to certify this device. We'll call it the Samsung G-Sauce, just splitting off from whatever first came to my mind, because naming schemes don't make any sense in this industry anyway. We'll call it the Samsung G-Sauce.
I'm going to correct that name and call it Samsung G-Spot.
G-Spot. There we go. Thank you, Obi. Gotta love it. Now, this is why I love technology. Okay, the Samsung G-Spot, all right? They call up Google, say, hey, we got this Samsung G-Spot. It's got cutting-edge specs. We want you to certify this so it can support Google Mobile Services, or GMS. We want it to have Google Maps. We want it to have Gmail. We want it to be able to support the Play Store, all this, everything else. Google's going to look at it and say, okay, what's the operating system? If the operating system is not 4.3 Jelly Bean or 4.4 KitKat, Google's going to say no.
We will not support this. Yeah, we will not put our cool Google logo on the back of your device.
Right. Now, to people like me, I look at this and say, this is exciting because that means Samsung's G-Spot is going to have cutting-edge technology. It's going to have top-of-the-line specs and it's going to have top-of-the-line operating system. Now, if they come out with the G-Spot 2, we'll say, it's not a cutting-edge device. It's got lower specs. It's got, instead of a quad-core processor, it's got a dual-core. Instead of 2 gigs of RAM, it's got 1 gig of RAM. It's got, we'll say, 8 gigs of internal storage. And they say, okay, we're putting 4.2 ice cream sandwich on this device. Google certify this device for us. Google's going to look at it and say it's got 4.1 on it. No. Now, this works in Google's favor one way because it lowers their, it focuses their distribution numbers, number one, because newer devices are going to be releasing with either 4.3 or 4.4. And this also means that developers don't have to worry about supporting all the older stuff when it comes to Google Mobile Services. Now, Obi, a lot of people are coming down on Google badly for this because they're saying, oh, they're locking down their operating system. They're making it proprietary. They're going to make it closed source, this and that and everything else. I think this works in Google's interest, and I'm actually excited to see this because I don't like walking into a cell phone store and seeing a 4.0 device sitting on the shelf. When we're up to 4.4 KitKat, I don't like seeing those 4.0 devices. I want to see those distribution numbers shrink. I want to see the newer Google Android operating system. I want to see that move up. Obi, your thoughts?
I agree with you. I mean, coming from, you know, the iOS and Apple side of things, I'm used to this. I'm used to this sort of shit because this is why Apple keep it locked down for this exact same reason. They don't want other people coming in and messing with their, you know, operating system for iOS, and that can get you in trouble, and they don't let developers access certain things. I still don't believe Siri is accessible by, besides from Apple, right? I don't think a third party can come in and go, okay, we want access to Siri. Right. Apple, no, that's ours. That's a good, you know, in a way, it's a good, you know, it's a good thing. Let you know, Siri, as we've discussed, doesn't work anyway. Maybe can a third party developer can make it better. That'd be kind of cool, you know, but I mean, Apple doesn't access, they won't allow access to the phone part of the, you know, the phone app, for example. Just because it might make unauthorized calls, you know? I mean, stuff like that. I think that's a good thing. Google locking it down and, you know, saying that whole 10 years thing. So what? You know? I'd rather see the new OSs too. I don't want to walk in and see what 4.0, 4.1, you know? Those are really old now, and they probably have security holes up the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Lock it down, get more proactive on it. And I think, and I touched on this earlier, there was a story, I think I heard it on All About Android on Twitter, that, I don't know if you heard about this, that the Google was saying that, you know, they're going to put their own, like, keyboards and stock apps on there. And I'll tell you this, one cool thing I've noticed about the Nexus 7, I can, just because it's a pure Android system, OS, I can uninstall their own apps if I wanted to, and yes, go in there and just uninstall that shit if I don't want it.
Exactly. There was this great big old discussion earlier this week about the forking of Android. Well, you know, you look at Amazon and they forked it. Samsung keeps threatening that they're going to fork Android with Tizen. You know, and the thing is, you can fork Android, but you're not going to have Google certified services. You're not going to have GMS. You're not going to have the Google Play Store. You're not going to have the Gmail app. You're not going to be able to get all the proprietary Google apps on your device. And for people like me, that's a problem.
You know what they should just do? They should just say, fuck it. We're just going to put KitKat on Google Play
as
a ROM. You download the whole ROM, install it if you want it. They say big, bold, red, you know, in red, big, bold font, they say this is going to wipe your device. It's going to literally just make it stock Google. I'll have that.
But I don't think the OEMs would go for that, nor do I think that airtime providers would go for that either. Because AT&T, they've got to have their sauce on everything, every device that they put out. Verizon, same way. T-Mobile, same way. All your airtime providers, they have to run the ROM because they've got to put their sauce on it. Now, those of us that bring our own device and the rooters and ROMers of we say, no, we don't. But at the same time, we also forfeit the tech support. Like, if I have a problem with my device, my Note 2, if I have a problem with it and I call up T-Mobile and say, hey, I need help with this, they're going to look at us and say, sorry, we can't give you support. Which I understand that because I've got the developer community on my side that I can go to and say, hey, I got this problem, da 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 da. And they'll look and say, okay, well, this is what we got. So
they gotta play nice.
They have to.
Unfortunately, this is the world we live in, and it's the same here. It's the same in any country. They've gotta play nice with these people.
Yeah,
and I will say this: my provider, which is O2 in the UK,
mm-hmm.
I think they've got around this thing with having their own apps. They don't put, especially with the iPhone, because I don't know if Apple has said, no, what, fuck you, we don't want your airtime, you know, your network provider apps on here. But if that's the case, whatever. But O2, my provider, has its own apps on the App Store. So I think that's just them saying, well, you know, that's our way of saying, you know, getting around the whole Apple giving us the finger, pretty much. When I had my Samsung from the same provider, it didn't have my network's apps on there too. Again, it was a separate thing I could download. So I think over here, I think it is changed. Now, this is, disclaimer again, this is just my, I don't know if Vodafone or T-Mobile are the same. I have no idea because I've just no experience with those. But for me, it's separate. For my provider, the apps are separate. And right. I know they literally put them on the, in the States. It's really bad with that.
It is. But like I said, the rooting and roaming community is, you know, they take out all that slag. They take out all that bloat. I just upgraded my lady's device for Christmas. I got her an HTC One through T-Mobile, of course. I got her to switch over. And I just, before I gave it to her, I just flipped through it. It's not rooted. It's not ROMed. That's by my choice because it's, you know, tinkering with my own device, that's one thing. Tinkering with my lady's device, totally different scenario. But it does have the proprietary apps on it. Are they uninstallable? No. But, you know, she uses them, okay? She can use them and she can get through it and it works for her. And that you know, making an upgrade available, open like that, I think is, that's a little sticky because then Google is cutting out all of the middlemen. Now, if you get like a Play device, Google Play device, that's one thing because they expect, okay, the Sonys, HTCs, Samsungs, all the folks that have Google Play devices now, Google Experience devices, they know that they're going to be getting updates directly from Google. So their sauce, it's going to be a big F you. But on the same side, on the other side of that, they're expecting to be able to put their sauce on the Note 2s, their sauce on the Galaxy S4, the S5, the HTC, you know, the Minis, the other ones. They're expecting to be able to get the kickback off of that. So, you know, I wish they would too. I mean, I want that pure experience. That's why I root. That's why I ROM. But, you know, some of these things are just getting so polluted and so bloated and so sauced up. And I got a story from Jason Rivera concerning the Galaxy Note 2 versus the Galaxy Note 3. And we're not talking about development on this, but where more users are preferring the Note 2 over the Note 3. We're not talking about software speaking, okay? We're not talking about development. We're just talking about based on design, hardware, and battery, and the price, okay? Now, granted, when you get a new iteration, it's going to drop the price. This is a story that actually came off of the International Business Times, based in Australia. Biggest differentiating factor between two devices in this price. Galaxy Note 2 16 gig variant is about $519. And the 4 gig LTE variant is $539. Now the Note 3 16 gig is $739 versus the 16 gig octa-core $759. And these are all Australian dollars. But I'm pretty sure Australian dollars and UK sterling is close to the same, isn't it, Obi?
I don't think it is.
You don't think it is? Okay.
No, because what I've heard in Australia, their minimum wage is higher.
Right.
So that's why stuff is more expensive. It's stuff to do with like economics, I guess. But I mean, no, I think the currency between the two of us is, you know, I want to say for local currency for us, without looking it up, because I just don't want to open up Safari just in case Skype just does a meltdown.
Right.
I'm going to say to buy the Note 2 at this point would cost you about, I'm going to say 400.
Okay.
For argument, £400. For argument's sake, probably the Note 3, probably 450 to 5. Well, actually, probably around 500, just because it's the shiny.
It's the shiny, right?
Yeah. So it's probably around 100 pounds, £150 difference between them. My take on it is the Note 3, what? It's the bigger screen, bigger battery.
It's a bigger screen, bigger battery, bigger resolution, more RAM. You get 3 gigs of RAM versus 2. You know, and for the average individual, cost efficiency, I think, would be it. You know, I upgraded to the Galaxy Note 2 last year. The Note 3, it didn't appeal to me. Sales figures, I don't think are all that. But on the flip side of that, too, when as the smartphones became more and more dominant in life, I read it on a board, and I actually adopted this, and I advise many people of this. Whichever iteration you get into, whether it be a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, whatever, so like, for example, I got in on the 2. You have a 4S for the Apple iPhone. Is that right, Obi?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm way behind. Two generations behind.
That's fine. That's fine. But see, the rule of thumb that many people are adopting is pick a generation and then skip either 1 or 2. Don't get the next big thing. So, yeah. Like, for me, the Note 2, don't get the Note 3, but get the Note 4. For you, you've got the 4S. Don't get the 5 or the 5S, or the 5C in this case. Wait for the 6.
Yeah, and because do you think Samsung are getting like Apple, though? I mean,
Samsung wants to be Apple.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, look at the Galaxy S3 and S4. There wasn't much difference. I mean, I got the S4 just because it was just, what's the point getting the S3, you know?
Right.
So for me, at that point, it was like, well, yeah, you know, I might as well just get the new one just because it's the newer one. No point going back, right?
Right.
So, you know, I did look at the specs for the S3 and S4, the Galaxies. Not much difference between apart from, you know, they bumped up the processor, the screen and the battery.
Right.
And it was thinner. I want to say, because it is, the device, I was very impressed with the thinness of the device. And the screen as well. I think they improved the screen. But apart from those, there wasn't much difference. And everything else was pretty much a feature, you know? Oh, you can unlock it with your face.
Yeah, but that only works about 2% of the time.
Yeah. Oh, you can scroll with your eyes. Yeah. Who's going to use that?
Oh, Smart Stay is actually pretty cool.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. I've used it a couple. It's not for me. I have used it, though. Okay. And it is a neat thing, but it's not that important to me, so I shut it off. I just assume be able to, because a lot of times I'll read a page and then I'll go back up and I'll read it again. Okay, yeah. Now having the Note 2, I've got more screen real estate, so it's a bit of a different story. You know, but the whole thing is, you know, bottom line is price. And if you skip a generation because, you know, going, if you've got a company that makes you upgrade your device every year, okay, I can understand that. Most of us are on 2-year contracts. I bring my own device because I can't. I'm not the guy that looks at it and says, okay, every single time I'm going to upgrade. No, that's just pointless to me. I've chosen the Note series. I got the Note 2 because the Note 1 was old tech and it just wasn't all that. The Note excites me, though. I like what it does. I like where it's going. So, therefore, the Note 4, the S3, bigger screen, a little bit more curvy, big deal. The Note 4, however, should be the next best thing in the Note series, you know, and that is something that I would find interesting. However, the Samsung camp has released in a recent press release off of CNET 10 devices that are going to receive 4.4, and it is a Galaxy S4, the S4 Active, S4 Zoom, Note 8, the Note 3, the Note 2, the Galaxy Mega, the Tab 3, Galaxy S3, and the S3 Mini. So Samsung is continuing support with their devices, which is something that is interesting, which is something that is good, which is something that continues to make things better for everybody else. And to be completely honest, Obi, I do need to cut this a little bit short. We've been on the phone a really long time. We've definitely violated the 60-minute mark, in a very bad way. But, couple quick things as we get ready to put a lid on it. Obi, final thoughts, plugs, and shout-outs, go.
Final thoughts. Yeah, it's good to see Samsung supporting, especially old devices. You know, that's a real good thing, because that's something Apple doesn't do very well. Yes, they support the 4 on iOS, whatever the latest one is, I forget. iOS, what, 7? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's good to see Samsung doing that. Plugs. Twitter, Obi-Wan Jabroni. That's with an all one word, with an E at the end, not an I. I do a couple of shows as well, podcasts, but we've not done one for a while because my co-host is unfortunately had snow, been snowed under like everyone else in the States, and he's had his kids at home, so hopefully we should get back on the podcasting with him. That's Poop Ninja, by the way, people who don't know. And best place to catch those shows actually is on poopninja.podomatic.com, I believe. A couple of other websites to mention. VOG Network, I plugged this last time. Especially the raffles. I think the raffles are cool. I think that's a good incentive to listen to the shows and get involved. The last raffle actually was 3 months subscription to Netflix or Hulu, or I think it was. I will say this, a lot of the raffles that only inside the States, they're not outside the States, which is a shame, but the website's fun anyway. Also, I want to mention one more website. People in the UK, because I know you got a fair few listeners over here.
No big deal, no big deal. I don't hold bias to anybody.
No, I just think I just want to mention this website because I know you got a few gamers listening as well, and I've been going on this website a lot, frugalgaming.co.uk. It's a good website for video game deals and such. I believe the States' version is chiefassgamer.com.
So pretty much
if you want to look at, you know, the older we get, the more commitments we have, and people get cheap, especially for video games, because they are very expensive. So yeah, Frugal Gaming, co.uk, good website.
Excellent. For
deals and what have you, and that's pretty much it. Thanks for having me on, Bible.
Not a problem. Thank you for showing up, Obi. As always, you can catch Trending Mobile Technology right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is episode 74, putting the lid on it. Despite all the other issues, but we're moving on with the best we have and what we got. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.